Good morning, everyone. My name is Bill Dotson, and I was supposed to have been here last week, but the Gulf Coast and all that got rearranged, and thanks to David. I think you had a good fill-in last week for me, a missionary from China, or to China. And is he a member of our church, or is he?
Hyde Park.
Yeah, we forgive him. That is on recording, too. I don't want to get this outside the class. On your table, you have the lesson of the morning. We also have answers, which I will give out to you for last session, but I want to give those out to you at the end if you want them. And I think they'll also be online. This is a pretty organized class, I've found. But we're going to be talking about the elements of an abiding father. It's a ministry that, and some of you haven't been here, it's a ministry that God laid on my heart several years ago, and now he's putting some flesh on it. And it's the burden of my heart. I think it's the burden of God's heart, and that's fathers in the home and the impact that it has made on many families, but the negative impact that it's making on this nation as a whole. And I think it all stems from us men sort of abdicating and not fulfilling our roles. I hope you can hear. The microphone's sort of restrictive to me. But we're going to be talking this morning on the end of the first lesson. Some of you weren't here. The first lesson is over here. It's also online, I believe. And that y'all can go to and get. Also, the books that we're developing abiding fathers around is From Faith to Faith. Fathers, are you absent or abiding? And you are welcome to get a free copy of the book. And also, there is another one. This is a labor of love for me. I write two of these a month, not books, but two life lessons a month, and I put them out on the web. And you can have this book also. So they're no charge. Some of you ask, well, I don't want to take them unless pay for them. So you can make a gift if you want to and leave it on the table. That's fine. But please take one, especially you fathers that did not get the book from the first week. Okay? If you will bear with me, since most of you don't have the first lesson, it was about the fact that God gave authority to fathers. Adam received the command, and he received the instructions and the blessing from the Father. And then we saw in creation that he then made Eve out of Adam. They became one. She was not made from the soil like he was. They were made from one another. And he is the head. He was given the commands. I believe that as we look at the garden that they were in and eventually kicked out of the garden because of their sin, and obviously that's when the absentee father series all began. And you saw what happened from sin, Cain, Abel, the circumstance. The first son was a murderer. And so what you see is the devastating impact of sin in the father's life. And sin in the family's life. And so I think this is a very important subject for your family, for this church, for this community, and for this nation as a whole. And I think unless something turns the tide, and that's God Almighty, and gets us back into the garden and dwelling with Him in the proper manner through the power of the Spirit, Our nation's families are going to be in jeopardy. So what we see is that man, woman, authority, commands, broken, sin and death entered in, and it's been going rampant ever since. And at the end, we see in lesson one about the role that trying to understand the role, and you'll see that. And God has given us men a role to fulfill. And he's also given the women, the mother, the wife, a role also. I see him as the caretaker, And I see the ladies as the gatekeeper. And I think this is so prevalent, and we could go in deeper into that. But the ultimate goal of the woman is to assist her husband, the father of those children, to become what God created him to be. And it may be, if you do it in a manner that God instructs you, ladies, it'll be the greatest joy of your life, because what it will produce is harmony and joy and victory and children that will honor and praise God, and obviously honor and love you back. So we end the first session on that tone, that the role is definitely in the head. The head of the family is the father, and the helpmate is the wife. And the lesson that's in front of you, I'd like to start going through that today. So if you want to pick up one of those lessons, if there are more lessons over here, if you don't have one, and if you're a husband, wife, you may just want one, or if you want to just listen and not take notes, then that's fine too. And if you ultimately want to go back and work it out your own, I'll be here three more Sundays, if not four. We'll see how it unfolds. Discussing the issues in the book concerning the elements of fatherhood. The two we're going to talk about today is loving and praying. And I'm going to go through this lesson. If you want to take notes, that's fine. Love is difficult. God is love. You and I, essentially, as fallen sinners, don't really have the full attributes of love in our life. We've been severed from the source of love because of our sin. And so what we have to do is, obviously through His Spirit, draw on the love that God has. If He is love and you and I, quote, are not love, then the source of loving our wife, our spouse, or our children and other people is certainly the love of God through us. So we have to be a channel of this love. I don't want you to, when you leave here today, I don't want you to think, well, man, I've got this love all figured out. If you do, write a major book on it, because it is one of the most difficult things. It's one of the most sung about things. Every song, especially in modern language today, is about love. It's degraded. You call it sex. I mean, love has so many examples out there of what it really is. And so we're going to try to unfold it. And for most men, it has to be acquired. It's not something that you and I just do naturally. Men, you and I are all about respect. And in the scriptures, it says, man, love your wife. Ladies, give your men respect. And see, that we can handle respect, because why? It can be earned. We go to the office. We want respect. We want respect in our business. We want respect in whatever arena we're in. We come home. We want respect in our house. Well, it can be earned. Love is an entirely different thing. But in the family, God's commanded us in Ephesians 5:25, men, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's so easy. Everybody knows it. Everybody's heard it. But doing it, that's another thing. And as for the father's children, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:4, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You can also go to Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So we are about training and equipping, and major part of that is love. So where does it say for fathers to love the children in these? It doesn't. It's implied. It's in other scriptures. You see it in Matthew 22:39, about love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's the closest neighbor you have other than your wife and your children? I mean, it starts there. You can't just avoid them and then go next door. It begins there. You see, this fatherhood, this parenthood, is all about disciple making. Go and make disciples. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. He has given us, God has given you and me, especially fathers, because I'm a father, so I can't speak for the ladies, but He has given you the role of a disciple maker. It's pure and simple. He's given you instructions, and He's given you Proverbs. He's given all of us Proverbs to be able to do what we should do to raise up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And hear the words from our Savior, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." What other arena will you get greater joy than knowing your children are trusting Christ and following Him? So, and if God is, I say mainly God made man in His image, so if we're in His image, then we have the capacity to love. Now, generally speaking, there's three definitions. Philadelphia, you know, the brother city of brotherly love. That's phileo. So phileo is brotherly. Eros is emotional, erotic. Any whatever word you want to use is emotional. Agape is unconditional, and that's the love that God extends to you and to me. Go to the cross, which we just sang about. There was no conditions. Unconditional love. Agree? I mean, it's the greatest showing of love that's ever been given on the face of the earth. Nothing touches it. Agape is defined in the scripture, descriptive of God. 1 John 4:8. Somebody got their Bible, could turn to 1 John 4:8. We've said it before, but if you get it, just start reading it. 1 John 4:8. We're going to read these others too. And we're going to read Matthew. In fact, Mark, why don't you take Matthew 22, 37 through 39 in a minute. And then we're going to allude to 1 Corinthians 13 in just a second. Anyone got the 1 John 4:8? Okay. All right. If we aren't loving, then it says we don't know Him. So, but God, I don't really know how to love. Just like the disciples said, I don't know how to pray, Jesus. Teach me how to pray. Well, we have to be taught how to love, especially men. It's not an easy thing for us. It's not natural. Women carry the children, or in the adoption process, you go through. I have an adopted child in New York. I have four natural grandchildren here. And the mother, just out of natural affinity and love for the child, knows how to love. I mean, they carried it. They nurtured it. And so it's us guys, we provided something and, you know, off to work. And, you know, you see the ducks. I play golf a lot and out at Bent Tree. You know, the spring season comes and you see these men come rolling into the lakes and all of a sudden they're together with the hen and suddenly little ducklings appear. And then about 2 days later, he's gone and she's left with the duckling. It happens, guys. We just don't quite understand our role. Anyway, why don't you look at Matthew 22 and 37 through 39.
And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets."
Okay, so what we see is God has said to us, we must love. And he says it's demanded toward God. Item three there is demanded toward our neighbors. And then the fourth, the characteristics of agape love. Let's, first of all, before we go to the First Corinthians, I want to read to you what it says in John 14. Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit. And in 14:21, he says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Okay, so we see a synonymous word here. Obedience and love. So if I don't know how to love, maybe it's best for me to go to his commands and start applying it to my life and let him and his Father start loving through our obedience. Love and obedience. It goes on a little farther. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." In verse 23, "My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." So to me, a synonymous word to love is obey. That's how we learn. How did Jesus love his Father while he was here on earth? Someone tell me. How did he love him?
Obeying him.
He obeyed him. What did he say? He told him, "I don't do anything on my own. Nothing. Only the will of my Father who is in heaven." And where did he get it? He knew the scriptures, the Son of Man. The Son of God was Son of God. The Son of Man was Son of Man. He had to learn as the Son of Man, but he was obviously fully God also. But we see that he obeyed him. And that's what love is. If you don't know how to deal with your wife or your child or an employer or whatever, and you're being asked to love them, then maybe God has the commands or the instructions, and by obeying that, you're going to be demonstrating love to your children, to your spouse, or whomever. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. And of course, this much used, much discussed. But I want to look at the first part, and then I want to you to have a little bit of discussion. Guys, families, people, it says in these scriptures, if whatever you do is not bathed in love, you're a clanging cymbal. I have seen it in my life. I still see it. You probably do yourself. No matter what you do, I can go give away my money, but if I'm not loving, I mean, it's empty. What about your children? If you're not loving your spouse, or you're not showing love to them and obedience, or loving the Lord, and they don't see that, I mean, whatever you're trying to teach them or the discipline you're trying to impart in their lives, they're not going to listen. There's an H word they would call you. What are you? A hypocrite. That's what he's saying. So these lead-in verses to love are very, very convicting. It says, "I am nothing. I gain nothing." So the love part is a difficult task. It is obedience to his word, and it is paramount in our parenting. I took the message, if you got the lesson from you, I like the way it translates it. Everybody, you maybe even have memorized 1 Corinthians 13 and all the things that it is. But look at this. It says, "Love never gives up, cares for others more than self, doesn't want what it doesn't have, doesn't strut," I like that, "or have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first," that's tough in this generation, "doesn't fly off the handle or keep scores on the sins of others," that's a tough one for me, "doesn't revel when others grovel, it takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, keeps going to the end." All right, I put some notes there. Write down, or just out loud, what do you think love is in your own environment? What do you think it, just in your own words, what is love? How do you show love? What is it? Other than these things right here in your scripture, what do you think it is? Anyone? Speak up. Bashful. Yeah. But just in your own daily walk, I mean, how do you flesh it out? Wow. Nailed it.
What did he say?
Time. Time spent with that which you love. And let me tell you today, in fact, y'all need to tell me, you're so much younger. This thing I have lying over here on the table, time, when you're with your children or whatever, is this the source of your attraction? I'm telling you, you go to restaurants, you see it, I see it, I'm exposed to it, I see it in my kids, my grandkids. This thing has become dominant. If I were Satan and wanted to detach the family, the unit, I'd have created that and make it new and improved and better. But let me tell you, when you're at home with your child, you be there with them. Time. What else? Anything else that you can think of?
Listen.
And you can't listen unless you're spending what? Time with them. Listening. That's a part of it's one chapter in the book, a listening, developing how to listen. And most of us men, starting with me, I didn't listen very well. Honey, I don't want you to change it. I just wanted you to listen to me. How many times has Joanne said that to me or my kids? Dad, I didn't want you to go fix the problem. I just wanted you to listen to me. Time, listening. That's how love gets worked out. Engage in your children.
Enjoy just how cute they are, funny. Yeah. Looking at it. But yeah, especially when they're talking to you.
Absolutely. They do this time and this listening, engaging them. I've seen Becky, my daughter here. She'll grab the child and she'd say, "Look at me, look at me. I want to tell you something. This is important." That's sort of like Jesus saying, "Verily, verily," or "I say to you, this is important." And so spending the time and with them, you can go on, figure out your own items of love. And second page, what love is not as a father. I love you when and if. When and if. Performance-based love leads to frustration. And most of us do it, especially us guys. If your kid ain't coming through the way you want him on that ball field, maybe I'm not going to love on him. You know, he should have done better. Or do I go up to him and put my arm around him and say, "Great game tonight, kid. Did everything you should have done. Didn't work out well." Whatever it might have been. I love you. Care for you. It creates frustration and it creates anger. Remember the scripture. Do not provoke your children to anger. The child says, "I can never be good enough or perform well enough to please my dad. Or the only time he compliments me is when I excel in some activity. He doesn't love me unconditionally." There are always conditions. Why can't he simply love me just like I am? The no-nos here. Never. You remember? You recognize these words? And never. Always. You always do that. You never make up your bed. You know, just constant pounding. Remember when. Bringing up old things. Can't you ever, you know, that's a terrible one. Compared to, boy, that'll nail them. Compared to Johnny, later, time, later, we'll get together later. When will you ever what? Stop doing it. And you can name your own that you wouldn't want. Those are the negative parts of the love side, and God would never say that to you or me, and he's the source of love. But this is what they ought to hear. "I love you no matter what. You'll always be my child. Nothing can or ever will change that." They will climb mountains for you, tear down walls for you as a dad, just to hear those words. I'm going to tell you a short story. 2 weeks after Father's Day, the other, we were having a night session at our Mission Marketplace in the Dallas Real Estate Ministries. And we were going around the room introducing ourselves and what mission trips had done in our lives. And we came about the fifth person, and Richard started talking. And the more he talked, the less he was talking on missions. And he said, my daughter, and he has three children, he's about 45 years of age. His daughter came to him on Father's Day and said, Dad, did you see your Father's Day card from your dad? No, I didn't see that. He said, sure. He said, well, I don't ever get one. He said, no, he sent you one, Dad. Let's go find it. Found it, opened it up, and this 45-year-old man, some of you are exactly the same age, sat there in that chair. I was down the row about five people, and he started bawling in front of all these men, weeping. He could not control himself. His father had said for the first time in his life, I'm getting chills, Richard, I am proud of you. I know I've never said that much, and I love you. Signed, Dad. He couldn't control himself. I finally had to put hands on his shoulders and start praying, and others did too, just to bring him under control. He had never in his 45 years heard that. And some of you may have not heard that in your own life. Some of you may have not, in a crowd this large, really express it to your children. Oh, they know I love them. You know, I show up every day. I go to work for them. You know, they all know I love them. I mean, I bet not many in this room. You wouldn't be here. But there are plenty of people that do that, and they don't understand how destructive it is. The other man that was in that room, he was a Marine in Somalia about 20 years ago, and his dad always confirmed him. But he got him a little letter. Son, I'm so proud of you for serving our country. I've always loved you. You know that. And he says he tore that off, and it kept him going through that battle that was engaging in Somalia. And he has it today framed on his desk, probably on his wall in his office. That's what it means to hear that. And those are expressions of love. I mentioned in the book the father and son that do the triathlon, and they're, you remember the have you seen it, where the guy's paraplegic? Yeah. Whew. Go run it. You'll see love in action. This man has dedicated himself to his child, and the love they have, a relationship, is indescribable. And guess who's not going to get to prayer? I just get so excited about love. Anyway, I never heard my father say, I love you. My mother did. I knew he did. I would have loved to have heard it. I knew he did. He was there for me, but he never said it. So I think there's two ways. You got to express it, and you've got to show it. Finally, the most difficult but equally necessary part is tough love. That's why you cannot pursue being your child's best friend, men. If it happens, that's topping on the cake. That's touchdown. Your goal is not for him to be your best buddy. If that happens, like I say, that's just gravy. John 3:16 showed the greatest act of tough love that we've ever seen or ever will. It reflects the greatest act of tough love ever recorded. The Father knew what was best for us, and His Son acted obediently. He loved His Father by going to the cross. It hurts deeply, but it's absolutely necessary. If it is conducted well, the word is conducted, it will reap great benefits. The opposite's also true. And to finish, Christ heard these words from His Father right after He was baptized. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the role of the Father. You got to say it to them. They got to hear it, and they've got to believe it. These are the words that allowed Jesus to obediently accept the cross. No child would ever get tired of hearing this. I wouldn't at any age, guys. Any age. Right, Tom? Any age. Right, Tom? Hey, Tom? Any age? Right? We don't ever get tired of hearing it or saying it. He and I are in the same generation. Somewhat the same.
Oh, I'm a lot younger than you are.
Oh,
I'm not coming to this Sunday school anymore.
Well, bring her anyway. Drop her off, okay? And above all things, have fervent love for one another. And it starts with your wife and kids. For love covers a multitude of sins. In 1 Peter 4:8. So fathers, bathe your discipleship ministry. That's what it is. To your children in love. When they know that you sincerely love them no matter what. No matter what the blunders you make, all the mistakes you make. If they understand you love them, they'll forgive you. So, the love part, if you're doing that, then you're also going to cover all the other things that are in this book, in Proverbs and everything else. But I am going to skip. I'm going to hit the prayer for those that are here. You can go a little bit later and get it online or get the answers. I'm going to quickly go through this. This is the battleground, guys. Loving is the end result, but this is the battleground, prayer. Without it, you lose. There is no other way to explain it. It's going to be your role as a father and your victories as a father and your battles that you face are going to be won or lost depending upon your prayer life. Some of the aspects of prayer, I'm going to follow this very quickly. Why? Why pray? Because we're exhorted to do so. God told us to pray. His disciples were so interested. He said, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray. That's important. We see you going alone all the time and praying, and we see victory in your life. Teach us. We want to know that intimate relationship with your Father. We want that too, he said. And because it is the most effective tool we have. It is by far the most effective tool we have as a parent. There is a spiritual battle raging for the lives of your children and your family and you. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, the principalities, etc., in heavenly places. Because each day, my life verse is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Take no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. Yesterday's grace is gone. Tomorrow hasn't been given to you. Today is the day of the Lord. Sufficient unto today. So I'll pass up my prayer, my quiet time, praying for my children, enveloping them in love. I heard prayers, we did it here, enveloping Andrew coming from Kanakuk today or tomorrow in putting God's hand on them. You're not doing that. Let me tell you, you're leaving your child open to everything. Please, every single day and as you go through the day, don't quit praying for them, asking for God. See, God's the only one who can win the victory in their life. You can't. He's given you. You can't be there. You're not omnipresent. You're not omnipotent. You're not omniscient. Prayer is getting all of that to go to work for you and through you. So prayer is everything. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, addresses the family relationship. You can go to Ephesians 6, and I'm sure you've taught on it. I'm pretty sure David's done that. We just got through in our Koinonia class. Jason has, and I was hoping he'd be here today. He taught us on Ephesians. You want to hear some great teaching. Get Jason's teaching on the spiritual battle in Ephesians. By putting on the full armor of God, including and bathing it all in prayer, you're actually turning it all over to him. You're taking it away from yourself and you're putting it into his hands. Now, we don't do that perfectly, certainly. And that's where we have to seek forgiveness and prayer that God shows us through his Spirit. Bill, you disobeyed. I mean, you're not doing that. And so he convicts me. I ask forgiveness of him or others or whatever, the children or the spouse. You fathers are simply the chief conduit and imparter of his grace and power to the family. And Paul makes it abundantly clear that the channel for this is prayer. When praying, when? Praying always in Ephesians 6:18. Paul also says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Then the psalmist says in 55, evening and morning and at noon. Doesn't sound like it's just a little 7-minute quiet time in the morning, does it? Evening, morning, and noon, he cried out to God. How do we pray? We pray in the Spirit, being watchful, observant. What's going on in my family's life? What's going on in my country's life? What's going on in my own life? What's going on in my children's lives? Be watchful. Because let me tell you, that lion is sitting at the door of your children today as never before. Wait and pray, it says in Matthew. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Same thing. When you pray, go into your room or your prayer closet or just the quietness of your heart when you're driving. Pray to the Father who is in His secret place. He's waiting. Wants to bring you into that inner sanctum. And do not use vain repetitions, he says in Matthew 6. Don't get into rote. Be watchful. Know. Be specific. Christ's model prayer to the disciples is our model, but it's only a model. So be advised. What do we pray about? Be anxious for nothing. Another couple of minutes will you give me before you have to go get your children? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, Paul says. So don't leave anything. God's told us, don't leave anything to chance. Casting all your care upon Him. All your care. It says in 1 Peter. And then what kind of requests? With all kinds of requests. So it doesn't sound like this is a minute, little prayer, throw it up, I'm on my way to work. It's work. Some people I've heard say the hardest work I ever do is pray. And if you've ever read great prayer warriors and their books, and it's incredible, the hours. Anybody know Rick Layman? How many people know Rick Layman? What would you guess would be his prayer life for you and me and anybody he's ever met? How many hours do you think Rick Layman spends in the morning when you and I are sound asleep? 3 to 4 hours. Not that time is everything, but it tells me he thinks it's serious. And when I grow up, I want to be like Rick. Okay. Results. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Your heart, your mind will be guarded. And that's important as a parent, as a father. Gain an understanding that God cares for you. That's where you learn that in prayer. He cares for you. And you and your family will be blessed and God is glorified. That's what we want. We want His blessing. We want His approval. Well done, thy good and faithful. And my last little thing down here at the bottom, before I forget it, someone shared with me, pray expectantly. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do for you. So why shouldn't we find out what His will is for our children and us and the family and what? Through His word, and then pray expectantly. But I left you a few little sayings down here. Paul sums up prayer in Ephesians this way. Always, all kinds, in the Spirit, being watchful, with perseverance, for all. Sort of covers the gamut. Pray as if it all depends on God. Work as if it all depends on you. Why? Because it does. That's an unknown author. Pray until you pray. Our pastor taught on that about 3 years ago. A Puritan exhortation. Pray until you pray. Not just by rote. Prayer is the exercise. I love this one. of Drawing on the Grace of God by Oswald Chambers in June 26. And then mine, If You Ain't a Lovin', I Bet You Ain't a Prayin'. If You Ain't a Prayin', for sure you ain't a Lovin'. It is my pleasure to be able to impart this. It is my joy that you have allowed me the time to develop this series and use you as the, quote, guinea pigs. David, you want me to close? All right, if you would, join me. Father, what a privilege it is to come to you in prayer. Thank you for each family here, each person, each individual, each corporate unit that you have brought to this earth for a purpose. Father, you've given us an example of love through your Son and through your relationship with him. You've sent your Spirit to allow us to impart that kind of love and to receive that kind of love that you have and your Father have between each other. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for teaching us how to pray. Thank you for encouraging us through your Spirit to pray. Thank you, Father, that your Son intercedes for us 24/7. Never slumbers, never sleeps, and may that be the type of prayer warriors that we become for our children and for our family, for our nation, and for this world. We thank you, we praise you, and ask your rich, rich blessing this week in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
That's great. Good stuff.
Oh, it didn't.
Good stuff. Oh, it didn't record?
No. Oh. Well, it's on recording, isn't it?
Yeah, it shows it. Record.
Record it. Oh,
but I don't know how those things work. But hey, that was.